The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 305. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
Hey, Greg.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah?
Planning for Gamescom, going to Germany soon.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care about any of that. My Italian meatball, Ryan Altano. Yeah. And then, for the first time ever on Podcast Beyond, Katie, the designer.
Hey.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What a low-key name.
Hey, hold on. Here. Knock our mic in there.
There we go.
Is it better?
Yeah. There you go. Get right up on it. You can't be afraid of it. Gotta get up on like
with it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you
get up on it like Brian on a meatball sub.
Again, this is a minute in to meatball mode.
Scooch in a bit. You're too far out of the frame over there. We got a new podcast room set up here to make videos
like
a bit easier.
I don't know if I like it.
Set these things up.
Why don't you like it?
It's a little...
You want to know why you don't like it? Because it's change.
Yeah,
that's
that's
it is.
Probably
true. You've done it around the round table, or not even the round table anymore.
Yeah.
But the old podcast setup for so long.
This is now my fourth podcast setup.
I can't even count.
Old man Goldfarb.
Old man Goldfarb. Wow. Old man, take a look at
of all the things to count.
Katie, all the listeners are sick of us. Tell them what you do, I guess. Well, like, you're new to them.
Oh, I'm an editorial designer here. I make graphics for IGN. That's basically it.
You make IGN look awesome every day.
Do
basically.
I?
Yeah. Yeah. When people come and they see the cover stories, you did those. You made the art for that.
Yeah, I make. Me and Eric do all the art.
No, just you.
Just me alone.
Don't mention
Eric. Doesn't matter.
You do. You did the scary Tom Nook. Wasn't that one you?
Yeah, that was my favorite.
That was awesome.
I think that might have been my favorite thing I've ever done here.
Wow.
How long have you been here?
Just had my 2-year anniversary.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Congrats. So did you go to art school for this?
Yeah, I went to RIT for design.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. What's RIT stand for?
Rochester Institute of Technology.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Running in tops.
Yeah.
Running in tops.
That's all basically right. Why I started here.
Yeah, that would not be a college name. No one would ever call their college Running in Tops.
We have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, shit.
You talked about going to Gamescom.
Yeah, Andy. I was. Feeling that muscle. Feeling those guns
you got. Mm-hmm. So we have some questions about that coming up. But first, let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I like how it's spread along the table. Everyone. Oh, Colin Moriarty's dead, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's not here.
No, he's on a trip to a super secret thing that he leaked last night. I don't know what he's doing.
Did he leak it?
I don't know. He gave a hint, and then everybody freaked out on the NeoGAF and whatnot, so we'll just leave it at that.
He's going to Republicon, which is a Republican convention. Where they just talk about how great white people are.
Wow.
Jesus.
How many items are on the Roper Report, Brian Altano?
There's like 12.
Okay. Wow.
I wrote down some news.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a new stealth action game from the Thomas Was Alone creator called Volume.
Ah. Ooh. I like Thomas Was Alone a lot.
I did too.
They just announced this today.
So hopefully this one's not that sad.
Yeah. Well. Well, it probably will be.
It's a video game, so make it happy for once.
Do you know what all information they put out? Like,
no,
it's coming
it.
Out.
That's
stuff
all
like
I got for you.
Okay.
This is just headlines.
Yeah, it's just headlines. Okay. I don't know how this works.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay, I'll look around on IGN while you do that. Try to figure out.
Okay. It's called Volume.
Okay.
So you have to stay away from all the sound.
That's not true.
It's loudness.
That sounds like a game they would make too.
And the music is great.
8.5.
Wow. Huh? They came with a review score.
It did. Oh, man. Those graphics are something to look
it's
at.
It's isometric camera and quiet navigation draw from Metal Gear Solid, clearly. But well, that doesn't help me anything at all.
Nope.
Doom is stealth spotted.
I think my review
was people.
Better.
There's real people in here.
Ooh.
Basic is a game, game through mission escape. Yeah, okay. It's stealth.
It's
got
a game.
It.
So okay. If you like those, you might like this one.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good recommendation.
Fans of games may enjoy games. So far, only confirmed for PC in 2014.
Yep. Guess wow. So. Not the best PlayStation story to start
It's okay.
Off
no,
with,
you're, it's your first Rope Report. It's the first time
ever. Hopefully it's my last, too.
And Tom Swizzlone eventually, you know, after coming out on PC, came to Vita PS3, yep. So it makes sense.
I want to play a game called Andrew Was Alone.
You play it every day by looking at me.
I laughed, but I shouldn't have. Canadian retailers have confirmed the 12-gigabyte PS3 that costs $199.99 and is dated for August 18th.
I'm already sick of it.
That's a real thing. What are you going to do with that? Download one game?
I mean, it's 12 gigs is really rough. But
that's not going to get you very far.
It's smart to lower that price big time right now, obviously, like with next-gen consoles.
Big time.
Big time. It's smart. It gets people to buy a PS3 really cheap. Obviously, if you don't have one already, $200 is an incredible way to get that library. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes sense.
And you could always put in another hard drive that you got from your friend or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
So. You get it from a store, too. It's not like you're passing around like drugs.
I'm just thinking these guys are really broke.
Take laptops.
They're really broke.
You go to Newegg, though. You can get a cheap ass.
Can you swap hard drives in that super slim model? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all same, just taking that laptop, the notebook drive.
Yep.
I see.
So that's the thing. If you have $200 and you don't have a PS3 yet and you still listen to the show, you know, what's going on with your life?
Sort it out.
There's new competition DLC coming out for Little Big Planet. It's Tearaway themed.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you like Tearaway.
Brian.
Yeah.
You like quirky games.
I do. I love
you like,
quirky
you
games.
You like pretty games.
I love
you like
quirky,
paper.
Pretty
you like
games.
Your Vita. Are you going to buy Tearaway? Are you excited for Tearaway?
Yeah, I'm excited for Tearaway. Okay. It looks really cool. It's actually... It looks like something that's using all of the features of the Vita in not stupid ways for the first time in a long time.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not writing that blank check.
See, people get mad at the word gimmick, right?
Yes.
People are just like, it's a gimmick. So what? That's good. That means somebody's trying something that's different. It doesn't mean it's like you can immediately throw it away or dispose of it because it's stupid or everyone's just sitting around going, we're trying to rob people with this game idea that's novel and strange. No, gimmicks are good. Like some of my favorite games of all time had gimmicks. Wind Waker had a gimmick where you had a sale, right? That was a gimmick. Nobody's going to back me up here.
I guess.
That's my list of top one gimmicks by IGN.
I played Tearaway E3 and it was just okay. I have to get used to the touch controls.
Yeah, the thing for when we played Tearaway, the problem me and Colin kept bringing up, right, was this isn't a game. Like, if you got just a random drop in on a Little Big Planet level, you'd be like, this is platforming isn't that tight. Why is this impressive, right? And so that was kind of the thing with Tearaway. I'm just like, oh, and we watched an entire demo, and then do you want to play it? I'm like, yeah. And there's there's only one way to do it, right? So I was just doing exactly what I just saw, and I was like, oh, well, now there's no magic to it of what am I doing? What am I collecting?
Discovering it. And I mean, I agree with you in that. Yeah, so I agree with both of you. This is such a – I have to keep turning back and forth.
You don't have to.
Devil and angel on my shoulder.
Just talking to the
which
microphone.
Am I?
Stare straight
am I devil?
I agree with the idea of this being something you need to dive deeper into than we've been able to. Because, the magic of it is discovering, new mechanics, new parts of the world. At the same time, the gimmick discussion, I agree with you. I like the idea of something being built up from the ground up for this platform using everything the platform offers.
Sure.
Using front touch, using back touch. My concern with it is more, does it need to be a touch control thing, or are they doing touch controls just because that option exists in the Vita? You know what I mean?
I mean, for Uncharted, on Vita, that felt like it didn't need touch controls.
It didn't need touch controls to reverse fighting.
I don't know if that's something because we were so familiar with the franchise already. We had played, two of them by then already, and the third one wasn't out yet.
No, that was after 3.
That was after 3, yeah.
So, what do I know?
But you had already done – I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
We've already done this. We've been Nathan Drake, and we know how to reverse
it. And I did it all with a button, and it was fine. But Tearaway, if I don't know anything about it, and I'm playing it for the first time, and they're just like, this is how you do things. You have to touch the back of the thing. I'm like, all right, cool. I don't have a context of doing that differently.
Right. Sure.
So,
If it feels good, it feels good.
That was the thing about Little Big Planet, right? Little Big Planet Vita had touch controls front and back, and they made sense, it felt like. This is like a game that would use these kind of things.
Totally. Yeah, in that game, pushing out panels towards you with the back touch felt great and made sense. But with Uncharted, the rubbing the objects, that is totally what I would call a gimmick. That mechanic has never been in the franchise, is only there so that you can use it.
It'll probably never be there again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, real quick. We talked about the new podcast setup. We're all on a line now talking to these mics. Yep. We got stuff behind us. On a scale of 1 to 10, as a prediction for Beyond 306, how much is Colin going to hate this?
10.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, he's gonna
declare this the worst thing in the world when he gets there.
He's going to come in and just move the tables around.
Yeah, probably. Or he'll just sit over there. He's out next week for Gamescom, too.
Oh, okay. Known Colin Moriarty for a long time on this show.
Yeah, I'll be out next week.
Good riddance,
too.
I say.
It'll be you, Steve Butts, and Brian next week, I think.
Okay. Well, if Brian can get us in the schedule. Brian's got a trapper keeper full of appointments. He's very important at IG.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna run the whole site, just the three of us.
Oh, God.
Just the three of us. That's not how that song
goes. Make it if we try.
All right.
Me and you and you.
In more great news, Goldfarb, here's your favorite theme of the story that you have to write about constantly. Layoffs happen at Crystal Dynamics.
Layoffs.
12 people were laid off for a second project that does not affect the Tomb Raider sequel.
Mm.
So they're working on something. I think it might just be more DLC.
Tomb Raider multiplayer DLC.
I think they finished it, and then they're like, goodbye, we don't need you anymore. Which is a weird thing they do in the video game industry a lot. I mean,
yeah, but I think people are used to that now, right? As far as it, not people like everyone in the world. I mean, people who work in the industry. It seems like people I talk to who get laid off, like, oh, I knew it was coming.
Yeah,
like, you ramp up production and then you stop when you're like, all right,
yeah,
now we're planning
life cycles. Yeah. So I mean, you don't get that if you write the Harry Potter books or something. Where you're like, well, I finished the book. All right, you're fired. It doesn't happen. That only happens in the video game industry.
Well, no. See, like my dad, you know, is a union contractor operator. I guess he's.
I want to let you know I've known you for 4.5 years now. This is the first time I've ever heard you mention
Me
your father.
Yep.
No, I have a father.
That's good to know.
He's a heavy equipment operator. He works cranes and stuff. And it's the same way when construction ramps up and gets to a point where they need the crane operator, he comes in. But like every day he's working himself out of a job.
Wow.
Eventually that's going to end and he goes out and wait, you know, gets the next call.
See, I have a cousin who lives in New Jersey and he does electrical work.
Yeah.
Because I'm Italian and that's how that works. And his whole job is to set up air conditioning units in places that don't have them. And the second he turns it on, he leaves.
Yeah.
So he's sweltering hot for like 3 weeks straight, and he's working in this shitty attic. And he's like, all right, got the AC on. It's nice and cold. Goodbye. And he leaves. And he has to go make hot places cold, and that's his whole life. And in the winter, he does the opposite. Makes
good
cold
job.
Places hot.
I got it. Oh, I knew the opposite.
Yeah. So it's kind of like working on Tomb Raider. Bethesda says it's hard to say if the PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Mac versions of The Elder Scrolls will release simultaneously.
That's it. That's a big fat no is what
yes.
it means.
Yeah. That means it's going to come out for most of those things, and then whatever they're doing for PS4 will probably be late.
No, I bet it'll hit on PC, and then the consoles will come later.
Really?
Yeah, the beta is supposed to be exclusive to PS4, or it'll start on PS4. So yeah, it'll hit PC probably way earlier would be my guess. I think they're going to realize like control changes and everything else, like connecting to people, and I don't know how anything else works.
Connecting to people.
I'm trying to describe how an MMO works, having never played.
I get to see it at PAX here in a little bit. I'm excited.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm also trying to get back into Skyrim.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know what about it. Like, I played it.
On PS3?
Yeah. Well, it's fixed now or whatever, right? I mean, I put like 30 or 40 hours into it on PS3 when it first came out, and then fell out of it for other games. And now I'm looking for something, I think, just to jump back in and wander around and do random quests.
See, I talk about this all the time, but there's sort of this notion of like video game comfort food. Where it feels like we're constantly inundated with games. We're always saying we have too much to play. Like I went home last night and I was like, I have 4 new things to play. 2 of them like aren't even out yet. Which do I play? And over the weekend, I just ended up playing Zelda 2 for NES.
Yeah,
I was like, why? Of all the things in the world, I'm going to play Zelda 2. Like you have probably 100 different games you can play right now. You're going to play Skyrim.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that I want to play Skyrim, but I need to beat Dragon's Crown, and then I also still haven't finished Hotline Miami, and then I'm trying to get through all this because Splinter Cell is coming out, and I'm super stoked for
and
Splinter
Cell. And Saints Row, and then GTA, and then
so
all the next
how do you guys get through backlogs? Because I basically
I don't. Yeah.
I chip away like a stage at a time. I used to sit. There's some games like The Last of Us. I sat down, and my weekend was gone. I was like, yep, playing through straight through. Same with BioShock Infinite. But nowadays, I'll play a game for 10 minutes and then jump to something else and play it for 10 minutes and like kind of chip away until I'm done.
I put big chunks of time in things.
Yeah.
Like I did a lot. I mean, Hotline Miami was my train game forever, and then Dragon's Crown came out, and now that. And so I'm like 5 or 6 hours into that. But it's like I don't want to come home and play that. I think that's like defeating the purpose of why I'll never get through it.
I'll do like a few days of one game and then switch to another, except when like the big games come out, like Last of Us, I beat that in like 2 days, I think.
Yeah, I had to. It just like
somebody's gonna ruin it.
Yeah,
you gotta be in a conversation.
Yeah. That and I was genuinely hooked, right? Like it wasn't like, you know, playing something that's more arcadey. Like, I mean, Hotline Miami was great. I played it for an hour and then put it away and then came back a day later, played for another hour and a half. And I really liked it. But The Last of Us was like, I need to sit and see what happens next.
Right.
Especially when the winter thing popped up. I'm like, yep, you have me for the next 10 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like watching anything. It's like watching a TV series and not being able to wait for the next episode.
Yeah, and,
it's,
and you're like, I'm just going to hit play. Yep. I'm just going to keep going. Yeah. Good talk, you guys.
Good talk, guys.
Video games.
See you out there.
DuckTales is out today.
Woo! And everyone hates it.
Yeah, and I don't understand what's wrong. Except for me. And Colin, actually. Colin gave it a 7, which is a good score. If you don't play 7s, you're an idiot. Seriously, it's like saying you won't make out with a girl that's a 7. Or a guy.
I'll make out with both. I'll make out with both. And then if you add them together, that's a 14.
I had a girl rate me on the scale once, and she said I was an 8.
Ooh.
And I was like,
how drunk was she?
Yeah, that's shooting really high.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't count personality on the scale. I feel like I'm a 10 in the personality.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And looks is I'm more of a battle toad out of 10.
So you've been playing it.
I really enjoy it. If you played the original on NES, then I don't see where any complaints come in whatsoever. There's new story stuff, which if you don't like, you can skip. So that problem's out of the window.
Uh-huh.
And it plays exactly like it used to. The music is fantastic. Like, they went and redid the entire soundtrack. And when you finish the game, spoilers, they play the moon theme, which is – did you guys play the original DuckTales?
No.
So the moon level's really crazy. It's got this awesome music. But they got this guy who played this, like, 32-minute-long piano rendition that you would hear at, like, the classiest piano bar.
Yeah.
But it's of the DuckTales moon theme. And it just goes on forever. It's like, dan-dan-dan-dan-dan-dan, and it just trickles off into space. And it's beautiful. It's brought a tear to my eye.
Aww.
But yeah, it's really good. It plays just like the original.
So you beat it already.
I beat it already. It's,
I thought this game's super hard.
It's
Ryan.
Hard.
Everybody's saying they can't beat it.
It's hard if you play on hard. I played on normal.
Okay.
Because that's how I played the original DuckTales. And then when I finished it, I was like, I'm going to play on hard. And as you're playing the game, there's tons of hidden stuff all over the place. And you're finding it. And you bring it back to your Scrooge McDuck's mansion. And your money bin fills up, and you can go swimming in your money bin, which is new. That's not in the original. And there's all this gallery stuff you can unlock, and music, and concept art, and all kinds of cool stuff. And it shows you all the characters in the game versus what they looked like on the NES version. And like the art style, just the way they redid all the characters, are really, really well done. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some of the background stuff's kind of weird. It looks sort of like an early 3D game that they sort of drop these painted characters on top of. But it plays exactly like an old school NES game. And if you like DuckTales to begin with, you'll like this now. They redid some of the boss fights. They're kind of harder. But overall, I mean, it's a really fun game. You can beat in 2 hours and you'll want to replay. So I like it.
I think part of it is kind of like you were saying with the podcast room. Part of it is that people do love the NES one so much that the fact that anything is different is what they're freaking out about.
Then go play the NES one. Yeah. I mean, you don't have that option here. You can go back to the old podcast setup. But the... The NES version still exists. You can still play that. You can probably emulate it or play it legally through whatever. Maybe it's on Wii. I don't even know.
Is it just an example of not being able to go home again? That people like, oh man, that game was so great, and then they go back and play it and like, oh, like you forget how, like people always talk about Battletoads, right? How hard Battletoads was and impossible it was. But at the time, nobody knew that. They just thought they were bad at games.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I mean, like, what's one of your favorite, you know, 8-bit games, Greg?
Ghost House.
Ghost House.
Yeah. Or Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters for NES.
Well, for Master System,
okay.
So
which
apples
I mean, and
oranges.
That game sucked. No, really, that game sucked. DuckTales, I'd say, was probably a 7.5 back in 1980, whenever it came out.
Yeah,
right. So the fact that they're redoing it now and putting out basically the same thing it was ostensibly, and it's still a 7.5, like that's fine. That's what it is. It's great. Enjoy it, or
sure.
Good on our scale.
I think it's just one of those things that nostalgia, right? People are like, oh my god, I remember how much I loved that game, and now you get that game, and it is still a 7 or a 7.5. Like, I don't want that.
See, and that's why it actually worked for me, because I was just like, wow, this is the same game I remember. They changed some things around, and it's still really fun. Like, I would play a Super Mario 3 that was just the exact same thing now with new
art.
That
would be amazing, like, do it in the new Super Mario Brothers.
And I think people would play it and be like, ah, it sucks. It's just not the same. I'd be like, I think this is great. You guys are idiots. So,
I would like to see them do more like NES remakes. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, WayForward does really cool stuff. Like they
and they love old school. They get it. Like there are people who want to be making games in the style of old school games.
Totally. I mean, they've done Contra now. They've done what else have they done recently? A bunch of other stuff.
Jesus, recently I don't know. But I mean, they've done some cool stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't wild about their Double Dragon actually.
Yeah, yeah. Mitch didn't like it at all, but a lot of people. We're really into it.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe we're all wrong.
Probably.
There's a new Watch Dogs trailer, and you can't fly planes in that game.
Say what?
Yeah.
Pre-order canceled.
Open world, freedom galore, but you can't fly planes. I have a theory on this, and I think it's because you can hack planes, and then there would be planes crashing into buildings everywhere, and that's not something they want to do. You have to play GTA for that shit.
Yeah. That makes sense.
GTA is coming.
Yep.
I keep forgetting about that. And then then you remember, and you're like, oh my God.
Open Me is out on Vita today. I have no idea what that is.
It's the box game.
Yeah, that augmented reality What's in the Box game that everybody was flipping out about at TGS.
Yes, it's from TGS last year. Yep. Right.
Wait, people are freaking out about it?
Yeah, because it's cool. People think it's really, really cool.
People love it. We have a cool video with Damon explaining it from last year's TGS.
Explain it to him.
It is. It's. I think it's exactly what it sounds like. It's augmented reality. You have these boxes, and you can open them, and there's shit inside.
There's traps and stuff to get in the way. It's weird.
Okay.
Brian sold.
Go get that box game.
It is very much one of those games you would see at TGS. It is weird. It's as weird as it sounds, but like watching it, it's just apparently really charming to play and everything.
Cool. Well, it's out on Vita.
I haven't played
today,
it, so I know.
Need a Vita game? There it is.
Greg and I are going to do a tandem review.
No.
I got those cards with my Vita. I think I just threw them out.
Yeah, do we need them for this? We probably do, don't we?
I think you do need like the
that would be
fucking
case.
Stupid. Oops.
I have no idea where mine
are. Not playing
are.
That. Yeah.
Google them, print them out.
Well, what you know that actually you go to the IGN wiki and you take you can save them to your phone and then you always have them with you on your phone.
Oh, yeah, that's how I do with the 3DS one.
That's a really good idea.
Good call.
Thank you.
It's a good tip.
It is a good idea for Greg Miller.
Payday 2 is out today.
All right, you're screwing up the segments.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
What is it all releases from here on out?
No, I don't, not really, sort of.
All right, skip stuff that's just releases.
Okay, then we're done.
You're doing fine. Wait, it was! You said sort of!
Well, you can watch WWE SummerSlam using the new Live Events app.
All right, PS3. We're done.
No, that's interesting. I'm interested by that. Okay. Thank you, Brian.
I guess it's like a pay-per-view type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't really have all the information.
Brian, it's like the worst like 8th grade book report. Yeah. Tale of Two Cities. It's about two. I didn't really read
all
of it.
I think the dog dies at the end. Nope, that's not where the red fern
close enough.
Thing is.
Close enough, I guess.
Lord of the Flies, 8.5.
Katie. I'm excited to play a GTA.
Are you?
And I know a lot of people aren't, but I am. And I'm not afraid of who knows it. But if I wanted to buy games right now, I'd go into the mom and grop shop. They wouldn't have this game, this GTA game. Where would I go to find out what they would have?
Well, Greg, you would go to the official list of upcoming PlayStation games on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Yeah, you were close. You
was close. Like, you missed one IGN in there, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, people the beginning.
So people freak out. There's like two IGNs.
Freak out.
And here's the thing, right?
The Van Fullen Nuns got flipped again today. They were back on the road, and then they didn't hear that.
People tweet at me and correct me differently every time. Yeah, some people say it's the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors. Other people take out the early IGN.
It was cumbersome to begin with, so it is the double IGN.
I just
want to let you know.
Oh, it totally is.
I just want to let you know that I thought that was great.
No, yeah, you didn't. No, you did a great job.
Fantastic. I actually practiced on the way here today.
Nice.
See, that was good.
Yeah.
You know,
that's always the test to see like when has anyone ever listened to the show?
Because
if they get all like they weirded out by it, you're like, yeah, you don't know what's up.
not a true fan.
Out this week. I'm going off the PlayStation blog here because I forgot to put together the list.
I have some.
Well, it's DuckTales. Okay. DuckTales is out.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Payday 2 is out.
Yes.
Is the review up on IGN?
Yep.
Okay, 8.0 from... 8. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I played it. I liked it. Like, okay. It's one of those things he puts in this review that it's totally a game based on how good your group is. If you just randomly team up with people, you're going to have a bad time. You're going to have a bad time. Just because it is so, you know, did you play the first one? Anybody?
Yes, it was insane.
Right? And I loved the first one. Yeah. I thought the first one was great. This one is way more like complicated.
I still don't understand that game is about killing cops, right?
Yeah. Well, it's about robbing banks.
I mean,
there's a bunch of different heists. Like the first game I liked, I thought it was kind of shallow, right? There was like four missions.
And they're
it was cool.
Same. It's like reskinned ideas. Whereas this one is way deeper. There's different types of missions.
Yep.
There's like missions that are just about evacuating, missions that are about like they have secondary objectives.
Go in there and smash stuff and cause much damage. There's loot drops at the end where you get to pick up a random thing. You get to build
really
your own masks.
You
customize
classes
all this stuff
too. So like you're choosing to play as like the enforcer, or you're choosing to play as like the dude who's really fast and can steal stuff quickly but can't get shot that many times.
Right.
Like, it's really cool. Like I actually think the customization options are cool. I'm actually probably going to go home and play this tonight.
This is one of those games that if I didn't work here, I would totally get lost in. You know what I mean?
I agree.
But again, like, there's like 15 other things vying for my attention, so I'll never get
like
deep
Skyrim.
Enough to be really good at it. Well, no, I say that, and I'm not. When am I going to play Skyrim?
No, it's true.
Tonight I don't have time. Tomorrow I don't, and then I think I go on a trip. It's like, well, I'm never really going to play Skyrim, but I really would like to.
Yeah.
Open Me, the box game, comes to Vita.
Oh yeah, I talked about
Amen comes to Vita.
Amen.
Amen.
What is that?
A-Men. A-Man is a logic-based puzzle platforming game focused on thought-provoking puzzle scenarios, absorbing entertainment, and a charmingly classic art style. March across 4th.
That's not what I would have thought at all.
It's about getting your congregation to church on time. Break Quest Extra Evolution. Thunder Wolves.
You're making these games up.
I wish. Thunder Wolves. Get in your helicopter, get ready, and go.
Oh,
the
man.
Thunder Wolves are the best helicopter pilots in the world, and they've already made it through countless battles.
Are they like real wolves?
Every one of them
like
is
Star
ready
Fox?
For action at any time and ready to battle
can't
evil,
let you
no
do
matter
that.
Where it looks. Get your helicopter airborne and get ready for some furious fireworks
it's totally,
and
it's a boot like
action.
Star Fox.
No,
so
it's
like
a boot like Thundercats. Why would you put – they fly planes and you put Thunder in front of their name? That's dumb.
Fruit Ninja for PlayStation Vita. Mars War Logs. And then a bunch of demos. Oh, Olympus Has Fallen is coming out too.
You forgot a really good one, by the way.
This is off the PlayStation blog. This is official.
Okay, mine was official too.
Thanks, Ray Gutierrez, for nothing. What do you got?
Runner 2 is coming to PlayStation Plus. Ooh. Instant Game Collection.
Oh, I didn't
if
do
If you
that.
Haven't played that game, you absolutely need to. It's probably the best platformer of the year.
Really?
It's really,
really
good.
I would still say Guacamelee is the best platformer of the year.
Guacamelee is more of a Metroidvania. This is a pure,
here we go.
This is a pure platforming game. This is like straight up run from left to right, collect shit, and jump. And
is it
what about
Vita
Cloud
and PS3? PS3?
I don't know about that.
I think it's PS3.
How
it's
do you know? Okay, so where did you play the game already?
I played it on Wii. I played it on Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's really good, but I will play it again on PS3.
Okay,
I could be wrong. I think it's PS3. I don't think it's Vita.
Okay.
I bet you a million.
If it's Vita, that's awesome.
People always bitch at us when we start like giving out half news.
Right.
Well, this is what I did today, all right?
No, it's not you. It's not on you. I mean, really,
if
it's
only the news editor.
It is legitimately on me for forgetting about that I had to do this part.
They can see me in the streets if they don't like it.
Whoa. Ooh. You're hot in the streets.
Maybe by the flagpole.
Not going to do that. Maybe
by the flagpole. Oh, this Runner 2. Okay.
Yeah.
BitTrip presents Runner 2. Yeah. Now I'm caught up. Free for PlayStation Plus members along with PS Vita content on sale as part of the PSV Japanese game sale.
So it is on Vita.
Looks like it.
All right. Play
it
on Vita
like
then.
A really good Vita game.
Yeah, that's a perfect Vita game.
This is how, zero.
It's one of those, this is how well the update's written that I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's on Vita. I'm trying to get down here. Fill some time. Say something.
Hey, so Katie, what are you playing right now? Are you still platinuming Persona?
I'm trying.
Jesus.
It's a mess.
It's hard. Do you have like all the crazy person charts? I had all the Beautiful Mind charts about like the books.
Yeah, I have
days.
Every single guide having to do with Persona bookmarked. I'm at like 95%. I still haven't gotten the stupid
hardcore
Rosette
fan.
Oh my god, it's so
it's got to analyze constantly. And what you have to do more importantly is switch out party members. So it's like you can't use the same people, and you have to let people die.
Runner 2 is PlayStation 3 only.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's just a poorly written sentence that led me to believe that otherwise.
Well, those guys should put it on Vita because that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. That would be cool. Everything should just be on Vita.
Yeah. You can also get Tomb Raider down at $20.
On Vita.
For play. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Cool.
So you're gonna do it.
I'm trying to platinum that in Dynasty Warriors 8 for some reason.
Why are you playing Dynasty Warriors 8? Why are you doing Dynasty Warriors?
Like, I've been with that series for like thousands of years. I might as well just like.
So you're
have
one of those people that actually really enjoys those games. Because I never meet those people, but I know they exist.
I don't really enjoy it. It's just like.
Something to do.
Something to do. It was a good stress relief at first, but then, I don't know. It's literally the same game. Well, actually, this one is actually, they developed the game, and it was pretty exciting, all the new moods and stuff. I don't know. I like it. It's a lot of hack and slash, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, totally. Yeah. Andrew Goldfarb.
Yes.
You talked about this at the beginning of the show.
Uh-oh.
That Gamescom is coming fast.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com, just like Cliff did for Topic of the Week. He says, I was wondering what your predictions are for this upcoming GamesCon. That's not how you, it's actually GamesCon.
With an M. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, whatever.
And they also, games.com is not.
Doesn't
games
go there?
Com, yeah.
What about the Tiger GameCom, which was a handheld
system?
Oh,
yeah, remember that? Yeah.
Specifically, what do each of you think will be announced / shown, and what do each of you hope will be announced / shown? First and foremost, we got to get a PS4 release date, right?
Yes, that's my big guess.
Either that or they're holding on to Japan, but in Japan, they kept saying. When they announced it, right, they're like, later. PlayStation 4 is coming to Europe and America this year, and they didn't say anything about Japan. So I doubt it's going to be at Japan.
Yeah, I agree with PS4 release date. I think Colin always points out that what Sony seems to like to do is where the conference is held informs what they're announcing. So the fact that this is in Europe, I think maybe we'll see, you know, Gorilla or Media Molecule with something new, maybe teasers. It could even, like, this could even be where we maybe get, like, a teaser for, like, Uncharted 4 or something like that, something Western themed.
You figure there's been a lot of rumors of Little Big Planet 3, right?
Like, yeah,
this
exactly.
Is a good place to show it.
All that stuff. I mean, I think stuff like Last Guardian and stuff that's Japan oriented, obviously they'll save for TGS, but and not Last Guardian, that'll never happen. But still, I think this will be more Western themed stuff.
Katie, what do you think we're going to see? Or what do you hope to see?
I would cry if there was an Uncharted 4 teaser.
Wow. Any,
like, just a title.
That's
anything.
Harsh.
Really?
Just she something. Hates Uncharted so much.
I hate
much.
It so bad.
Nathan's
Oh, you would bad cry, not good cry.
Yeah, no, she would go cry.
It's the good cry. It's like one of my favorite series.
So. Yeah, me too.
Just anything would be great.
I've been saying that for months that they just need to put up the logo.
Uncharted Fight for Fortune 2, only on. No.
Is it Fight for Fortune, but the number 4?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Now
this will be Ryan's last podcast where he's picked up by PlayStation Marketing. Brian, what do you want to see, or what do you think you'll see, or what do you hope to see?
I'm positive we'll see the PlayStation 4 release date. That's the big one. I know we're all saying it, but I think it's really important. I think that depending on when they release it will make a huge difference, by the way. I think that putting it out after Black Friday, like missing that.
They can't do that.
Like it seems
I
to me
that
like
is the latest. I think Black Friday is the last possible weekend to
open. Yeah, 100% agree with that.
But yeah. The rumor, I mean, people, there have been rumors about it falling to December, but I think that would be like
that's
suicide.
A huge
that
no way.
No way. I mean, you can't even give, they can't even give Xbox a month.
Yeah.
Like a 1 month head start. Well, there's a lot of people that are just like, I'm only affording one console.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I really want to see some more indie stuff because honestly, their launch lineup right now is not grabbing me, and I want to see something that's like what's the Geometry Wars?
You're not going to get any of that. I think it's going to focus on like PS4. Yeah, I think we'll get the release date, but I think you're going to see more Vita than PS4. I mean, I think like none of us mentioned it. Like a lot of people think if there's going to be a Vita price drop, this would be it. Would be Gamescom.
Right.
I mean, like I think indie stuff, PS4 stuff, they covered pretty well at E3. I don't think you get. Like, yeah, like I said, maybe like an Uncharted 4 or whatever Media Molecule is doing, but I would expect more. I think they've even said there will be more of a Vita focus than a PS4 focus.
See, that's disappointing to me because, I mean, I'm going to purchase both of these new consoles on day one, and I don't think there's one game that's really jumping out at me across both of them. And, I mean, they've had 9 years to work on these things, and there isn't one like Mario 64. There isn't one like even.
But there never is at launch anymore. Like, what was the last system that launched with the killer app? Like, I don't think 360 or PS3 had something.
No, they didn't.
Launch that was
Lumines on Vita.
Yeah, I mean, Lumines on Vita was really good.
Yeah,
that's true.
I guess so.
But I mean, I just like Wii U was the same way. Like, I bought one, but it's like there was no game that grabbed me at launch.
Well, I mean, Vita, I would like, say the Wii had Wii Sports, exception. Right? Which at least is something that like we all played and got people excited. But there's no Wii Sports and there's no like. Mario 64. Like
we did launch with the Zelda 2, though.
Yeah, that's right.
And it launched
with
the real Zelda.
Well,
that's what that
but
was.
But it was a GameCube Zelda that they.
Sure, but at the time, none of us knew that or really cared, right? We're like, oh, no, there's Zelda, yeah.
Exactly.
I get to be a wolf? Awesome.
So, I mean, because, like, Knack looks interesting. Does it look like
a system
$500
seller?
No. Interesting?
Yeah, it is not a system seller, but it does look. It's really fun. We played
E3. And that's the problem with them not having Infamous, right? Like, everybody talks about Infamous, but Infamous is February.
Yeah. Well, and that's like Titanfall for Xbox One. That's the game everyone talks about, but.
Yeah, Infamous is not a day one launch.
Why?
Game. Well, they needed an
it's
extra
not ready?
Couple weeks. Yeah.
I know, but that just like now I'm kind of with you. Where there's not much.
Killzone,
like,
Drive Club,
Drive Club.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Killzone looks really cool.
This is the cycle, though. Like, I mean, I bought a Vita, I bought a Vita a few months later, but I bought a 3DS at launch, and that was miserable for the first few months. And now I can't put it down.
Like that Ghost Recon game?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of people did, but, you know, did I need to play Pilot Wings for 2 hours? Yeah, that was kind of
Steel
fun.
Diver.
Steel Diver for 10 minutes was awful.
Yep.
I bought a Wii U on day one. I didn't really play anything for months after that. I'm playing it more now, and I think the next few months look really good for the Wii U.
Yeah.
But just there was really nothing on the first few months, and that's kind of the risk you take now. You become a like sort of a tester. When you become an early adopter, is that you spend the first 6 months complaining and trying things out, and things crash, and then they fix them, and so that's the fun thing about getting
this. It sure is fun.
Yeah, but I'm still buying one on day one. This is what I do.
Yep.
That sums it up. I guess my one hope would be that we keep talking about we hope there's a Vita focus, and I'd really like to see an Infamous game.
Yeah, I agree with Colin though that if it's happening, it's obviously not Sucker Punch.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Unless they've somehow broken into two teams like Naughty Dog did secretly, but I sincerely doubt that.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like that's happening.
Sure. Agreed.
I would play that.
Yeah, me too. Oh, my God, I would play that.
Rizzo writes in. He says, "Hey, guys, Beyond.
Beyond.
With the recent news that the Xbox One will now allow players to play games without having the Kinect connected at all times, and all of the other changes that have been made so far, is this a sign that the PlayStation 4 had more of a mind share in the upcoming consoles? I think so, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. PlayStation's big step up was saying, we're doing everything Xbox isn't.
Yep.
And now Xbox is like, we'll do that too.
I also just wonder how much of this was Xbox's really awful messaging, though. Like, they haven't actually said they changed anything to allow it to play without the Kinect plugged in. I think they just never communicated officially.
Originally, they said that, though. Originally, they said you had to have it plugged
in. Yeah, but originally, they were contradicting themselves on everything, though. Like, Phil Harrison was like, oh, yeah, you need it plugged in. Phil Spencer was like, no, you can absolutely have it unplugged. Like, I mean, that was the whole problem with everything when the Xbox was announced. Like, they were mixing every possible message. So, I mean, yeah, to answer his question, though, like, I do think that, yeah, like, I think within, like, I think that more applies to, like, a DRM reversal, use games, all that stuff.
I think
that is more in.
Do you honestly know what the average gamer is saying through all of this bullshit?
I want to play Call of Duty.
I don't even know about these systems.
Yeah, they're saying, exactly. I don't care. We're sitting in our, you know, the IGN comments and people on message boards and, like, the people really into this, you know, including everyone in this room, gets really up in arms about a lot of this stuff. But I think most people, they just want a release date and a price, and they want to know when they can play Call of Duty and Halo and.
Yep.
Killzone.
There are a lot of mainstream people that still have never heard of these systems. Like, I mean, totally right. We forget because we're on Twitter and message boards and in the office and everyone's complaining. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, it is nothing. It is, like, a drop in the bucket of the actual, like, millions and millions and millions of people that will eventually buy these.
I mean, I was back in Jersey 2 weeks ago, and just anecdotally, I was, you know, people were asking me how work is going and stuff like that. You know, they all have jobs, like, in the real world, and they're not, you know, writing about video games and toys all day like we are. But most of – I was like, so which, you know, which console are you most excited about this fall? And 95 out of 100 were like the Xbox One. And I was like, why? And they're like, well, because it's got all my Call of Duty friends on it.
Yep.
Like that's just going to – it's the Call of Duty buddy box we called it. And I think Sony still has a lot of work to do in convincing people that you can play online games on the PS4. I think people still don't know that that's a thing you can do, and they just want their friends forever to be with them. And I don't think they really care about the Kinect or if it's spying on you or the DRM or if their friends can. Nobody cares about any of that shit. They just want to know that it feels like something they've had before.
Yeah, you know? it's the upgrade, right? I mean, you're upgrading the experience you already have, and you're taking all those people with you.
Exactly.
That's always been their Trojan horse in this race, is the fact that, well, are you really going to cut and run on your clan and all these people you play with every night?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that these consoles are revolutionary. I don't think they're fundamentally different than the things that came before them, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's kind of more the same. So that's people are just kind of sticking with, you know, the flavor of ice cream they like to eat.
Mm. Yep. Rocky Road.
Coffee.
Cookies and cream.
Coffee. I don't even like Rocky. Rocky Road's the one with the marshmallows in it?
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't know.
It's fine.
When was the last time anybody bought that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Jennings824 writes into Beyond at IGN.com, just like you can. He says, I've easily spent 100 hours playing Hotline Miami trying to get the platinum.
Wow.
The one trophy that I need is to kill 99 dogs. I've probably killed about 500 at this point, and the trophy will not pop, even after the update that was supposed to fix this issue. Have you guys ever put countless hours into a game for the platinum only to have it blocked or glitched in some way? Love the show, Michael Jennings. Goldfarb, this happened to you.
Yeah, I put so many dozens of hours into Plants vs. Zombies on Vita, and I had this really weird unlock error for Enlightened, which is like the longest, most time-consuming trophy in the game, which is every single plant in the Zen Garden, and I got it. And in the game, if you boot up the game, look at the list of trophies, it says it has been unlocked. But if I look on PSN, the trophy itself never popped.
Mm.
So it's like every time they update that app, I'm hoping they put something in where like it'll check for your trophies
that
as it
sucks.
Boots up or something. Yeah, and there's like nothing you can do to fix it. Like I can completely delete my save and start 100% over, but obviously I'm not going to put in like 100 hours worth of Zen Garden.
And even if you did that, it's only at the off chance that it'll work.
Yeah.
Which it might not.
Yeah, I mean, Hotline Miami, a lot of people are having that problem. It was super glitched with a bunch of the trophies. I think there is another patch coming to fix that. But it does suck. Like, if you are someone who puts all that time into trophies that I know, like, you make fun of all the time for being meaningless and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you put that much time in and then don't even get that trophy, that sucks.
Sure.
See, now, that was the thing for me, is when I was reviewing Dead Island 2 Riptide, I was one of the few people playing it on PS3 by choice. So I was going to be the first person to platinum it, and I played nonstop for, like, you know, the whole week and then into the weekend. Long after, I was like, I think I wrote the review, but I was still like, Mike Mitchell, you're doing this with me, and we're doing it all. And it finally came down to just the collectibles, and I was making notes on, like, pieces of paper, and I thought I had this one, and I'd go there, and it wasn't there, and I thought I'd already picked it up, but it wasn't showing. I was like, oh, that's weird. So I went to GameStop, because the guide came out before the game did. I bought the guide. I went home, and then I went through meticulously clicking things off with a Sharpie, and it turned out that, yeah, the game glitched out, that I collected a audio recording, but it didn't record that or whatever.
Wow.
So I haven't gone back since that. This is pre-release or whatever, and now into release, and I haven't gone back to actually check if I can do it again. But when I finally just, like, Mike was there, like, sitting next to me, when I was just like, all right, like, this is where it's supposed to be. I'm looking at the guide. Like, this is how it's supposed to all break down, and it's not there. And I went to every location the guide said. They had an interactive map they eventually published online. I was looking, and I'm like, it's not there. And he's like, that sucks, man. And I was like, honestly, it doesn't. Like, I loved playing this game, right? And, like, this thing glitched out at the very end. Now, if I had spent 30 hours looking for that one collectible, maybe sure. I'd be really upset. But it was, like, I had still been getting trophies throughout that part. But now I just have these, like, this, like, Scarlet A bronze that I can't get.
That's what it comes down to, is that, like, the games that I attempt to platinum now are games I am enjoying. Like, yeah. I getting that Guacamelee platinum was hard. Like, yeah, I was trying for Hotline Miami too, but I eventually gave up. But it's like, yeah, for sure. Like, if you like the game enough that putting those dozens of hours into it is worth it and you're having fun, then yeah, if you get the little meaningless digital trophy,
I love that aspect of it. It's when I hear about people playing games that they don't like just for trophies, then right. I don't get it. But if you're playing a game for trophies and it's you finish the game and it invites you to go back and play it differently or explore areas that you hadn't gone to before or do something differently, play, you know, instead of constantly attacking, you're always defensive and you get a trophy or something like that. And you're playing the game every different way than the developer could possibly have offered you to do it. I think that's wonderful. I think that if you're wasting your whole life playing something that you don't like just to get a trophy, then you're...
But what if you like trophies?
Boom. But I mean, that's people always laugh about...
I don't get that, though.
People roll their eyes when I say this, but there's good design in games, right, obviously? But there's good trophy design as well. Like, I mean, like, there are shitty trophies that are, like... Yeah, like, we talk about this The Last of Us. It could have just been, like, shiv 100 clickers or whatever. Yeah. But instead, they actually made them meaningful and made you have to play through the game multiple times and have to really try for it. And it becomes a strategic thing. Like, I love 1999 mode in Bioshock Infinite. I love Survivor difficulty in The Last of Us. I like something that makes you go back through the game with a new challenge, a new perspective. And that is kind of a leap that does make you have to work for it.
I mean, would you play those things if trophies didn't exist, though?
Yeah. I mean, playing. Yeah. Playing hard mode on SNES games or anything.
Sure, I mean, and I did that stuff all the time. Yeah. It was just because there was the thrill of being able to say,
exactly.
I beat this.
It comes back to the exact same thing. If you enjoy the game enough, if you really like the game, you're going to do it. If it's some bullshit license title that you don't like, you're probably not going to play through it in a hard mode.
Sure.
I usually, you know, play most games, even if they're just okay. Like, I played PlayStation All-Stars, and I got the Platinum in that, but it was grueling.
Oh, God.
It was
awful. Those stories doing
over
them
over and over again. Yeah.
It just took forever.
And then there was no cross-save, so it's like, I did it on Vita, and then I got, like, halfway through on PS3. I was like, I can't
Same
do
thing.
This again.
Yeah,
Same
I did
thing,
it on,
yeah.
I did the Platinum on PS3, and then I got, I have, like, 53% on Vita. I'm like, I just can't do this again.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Same boat I'm in.
You talked about Bioshock there.
Uh-oh. For once, for a change.
Yeah. Micah writes in to beyond@IGN.com, and he says, having just finished Bioshock Infinite after mostly avoiding spoilers, I remember Ken Levine saying on Up at Noon that an employee quit because he found a part of the game offensive to his religion. As a Christian myself, the only part I found at all offensive was the near baptism scene toward the end when the minister references, quote, the blood of the Lamb and Jesus, both of which clearly put Christianity. What are your thoughts on the story's exploration of religious themes? Did you or anyone you know find it offensive? If so, why? Thanks, Micah.
I didn't find it offensive at all. I mean, I think there was I think it's on Kotaku. They published a letter from a guy who tried to get a refund for the game because of this.
Really?
Because he was so religious that he was offended by what happened in it. And, like, for me, it's
did
like,
give it
what
to
about... I don't honestly remember. I think they
you
did.
Don't, I don't think you deserve the refund for that.
But here's my thing. Like, you are also murdering dozens and dozens of people in that game, and if like the baptism is what upsets you, it's just such a weird narrow thing to focus on to me. Like, yeah, like I can, as someone who is not religious at all, I'm not offended at all, and I don't want to say, you know, it's not offensive, because if you're offended by something, that's your right to be offended by that thing. But for me, it's just funny that people focused on the it is the baptism, that is the thing that Ken Levine was referring to, that is the thing that a lot of people hearken back to. And it's so weird to me, like that they are ignoring the murder and
right.
Like if you buy a first person shooter and you're super religious, hey, you're probably gonna get
what about
the
ungodly pan dimensional time travel? And there's like so much magical powers. Like there's a lot there that doesn't really ring under the umbrella.
I mean, that's what's weird. Like, I guess that's the point, right? I mean, we already, you're talking about the time travel, whatever. We already know about Elizabeth opening tears, right? Even if you haven't played the game, there's no spoilers here. You've seen trailers where she's opening tears and there's Star Wars stuff or whatever. Like, the fact that since that doesn't happen in real life, right?
Yeah.
You have no basis for that personally. You can look past all that and it's just fantasy. But when it brings in something that is very personal to you, that's when people get uppity, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a religious person, but I think that if you can play something and just admire it for its story, I mean, I don't think that there was anything in Bioshock Infinite, especially that game, that was, you know, directly offensive to any particular religion. I think that they took liberties with their own religions in that game, and that, you know, that's confounding and interesting in its own ways, but I don't think it was just like, Catholicism is shit.
Oh, sure,
you know? Because that is, like, the point of that game is that, like, to these people, to the people in Columbia, they've almost established their own religion worshiping the city of Columbia itself. Like, the idea is that Comstock is their prophet, is their leader of this religion, and, like, that's why you see, like, everything. They look down on anything that differs from, like, the kind of scary Columbia.
There are, like, Christian game review sites that are, like, the IGN of Christian game reviews.
Right.
And if you go and read them, they're fascinating how they sort of pick and choose what is offensive and what isn't. Like, you know, I think I read one that was like a review of Doom, and it was just like, oh, this is really bad because this and this. But it's also like you're banishing demons in hell in that game, so maybe you're doing good for God. I'm not sure. I don't really adhere to any of that stuff, but they're just video games, honestly. Like, they're stories. Like, I don't think there was anything that was so overtly negative or critical of any particular religion that you would have to take offense to it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't like the just video games argument, because I think the point of what makes something like that special is, and what makes Irrational's approach to the game special, is that they're trying to elevate it above that. That, like, whether you think it worked or not, that,
okay,
the,
well, if they elevated it enough and it becomes the best narrative in the world, then it's just a movie.
Well, no, what I was going to say, though, exactly.
Like, it's not like Irrational didn't burn down a church in real
life. No, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. That, like, the point is, like, there are controversial books, there are controversial films, and, like, it's not that it's just a video game, it's that, like, it is art, and that any medium, like, is capable of offending people, and that, like, to some degree, the fact that it can get under your skin like that probably means they accomplished something, you know?
I think it's one of those
It's
one of those things, right, of us maturing, you know, the industry maturing, right? Mm-hmm. That people go to movies and trailers give it away pretty quick if you're going to burn down a church or if something crazy is going to happen, and that's what's going to, you know, what the theme of it is or what their takes on religion is going to be. So I think people maybe know at the door, oh, I don't want to go into that. That doesn't look like my kind of thing. Whereas, you know, now that video games are tackling more and more serious subject matter, now we're getting to this point where you're playing, you're like, wait, what am I doing? Like, what you're saying, right? It's a first person shooter. You're beating people, you're using your skyhook on their face, you know what I mean? But, like, that, it's when they start talking about baptism that people get, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Especially because you're not passive in it, right? If you're watching a movie and somebody burns down a church, that character does that. But when you're in a game and you have no choice over the matter as far as what's happening.
Sure. I can see that.
Sure. Kind of like that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's like a big pick and choose situation for most games, which goes along with what people think about the Bible, too. Like, people pick and choose what they think is offensive in the Bible, which the Bible is pretty offensive, so just it just goes
just
along
sacrifice
with
your children, you'll be
yeah.
All right, I have to go to our Gamescom planning meeting.
Bye.
Blame Keza.
I do blame Keza.
Bye, GoFarm.
And I always will.
Bye.
But yeah, I mean, I went to, you know, Catholic school. I'm a confirmed Christian, everything, but I wasn't offended.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean,
high five, so Catholic school, confirmed Christian.
I didn't go to Catholic school, but I am a confirmed Christian.
What's everybody's confirmation name?
I think mine was Joseph.
Joan.
Timothy.
Actually, no, Joseph's my middle name. I totally forgot mine. I don't remember. I did it for the money.
I tried to pass a St. Clark so I could be named after Clark Kent.
Got it.
No,
oh,
St. Clark.
Really? There's no St. Clark.
Then I tried a St. Bruce. No St. Bruce. Then I went a few more, and I finally got down to Timothy for Tim Drake.
Yeah. Anyways. I tried to do that with Old Dirty Bastard.
Is there a Saint Old? No. No, there is not a
I'm sure
Saint
there's a Saint
Old.
Dirty in there.
There is. There's a Saint Dirty. He was great.
Ryan writes into beyond@ign.com. Not Ryan Clements, beyond. He says beyond. I am one of the many 30-somethings that grew up, quote, from the beginning, Atari/Nintendo, and I'm starting to feel that my peak gaming experience plateaued in the late 90s/early 2000s. I don't have as much fun. I rarely finish games because I get bored or know that I could beat it easily. Lately, I've been turning more and more to indie games, especially retro-inspired ones, even though I like them more than the usual AAA titles. I still feel like I am getting let down. I'm asking for your advice on my situation because I know you guys are huge retro gamers who play modern games for a living. We all grew up in that area.
Yeah.
Except Katie, who looks like she's 12.
I'm like 3 years old. So.
See, we're in a weird time now because it's the industry is more expansive than ever, right? And you can be like, I'm a gamer, and you can play 100 things I've never played in my entire life.
Right.
I know people who are gamers that play games that I've never even heard of or I've never even touched. People who only play League of Legends, and I haven't played it once. Then there's this sort of like guilt that you should play every major blockbuster game that comes out, and I don't think you need to.
No, not at all.
I think you can get by just playing Plants vs. Zombies and Thomas Was Alone and, you know, stuff like, you know, little games that people aren't, you know, spending billions of dollars on every year. Like, I don't normally play the Call of Duty games every year. I don't feel like I'm missing out on a ton of stuff. I think I know what's happening there.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, he's talking about the fact that he still plays indie games, especially the retro ones, but then he still feels like he's being let down or whatever. It sounds like he's wrestling with the implication you are, right? I guess I have to be excited for Assassin's Creed. I guess I have to be excited for GTA. If those games don't excite you, screw them. Whatever.
Yeah, you absolutely don't. I mean, it's if you're still playing games that you enjoy, then you're still a gamer.
That's the whole point of it, right?
That's
right? It's. I mean, we get caught up and call it this industry, and everybody's all wrapped up, and everybody feels like they have to know everything in the minute thanks to Twitter. But really, you go home and it's just a distraction, right, from whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's just you and your preferences. Like, would you go eat the McRib because there's commercials for it everywhere, or would you go home and cook something?
If you're Gary Whitta,
you would. Maybe you would. I mean, some people need that, and some people want the big experiences that everyone's experiencing, and other people just want to go home and play Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah.
And they're like, this was great. That was a fun game. That's all I needed to call myself a gamer this year.
Yeah.
You know?
I haven't played Thomas's Alone.
So you should get on it.
Yeah.
I think it was – they had a sale through PlayStation Plus. So you fucked up.
I had to play that in Hotline Miami. I haven't started.
God, I like Hotline.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. Final question comes from Jacob. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Jacob says, question, does beating a game actually matter, or is it more about experience the game and to what point? Here's a short list of games I've played but probably will never get around to beat because of length and or difficulty. It scars me to this day. Borderlands, Demon's Souls, Catherine, Grand Theft Auto, 3, Vice, San Andreas, 4, Zelda Ocarina of Time, Metroid Prime. I have beaten The Last of Us after taking a personal day off from work. It was totally worth it. Peace, Jacob. Again.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it matters. If you enjoy your time with the game, go ahead. That's all that matters.
The Final Fantasy series is one of my favorite series of all time, besides Uncharted, of course. But I never beat 7 or 8 or 9. I beat 10. But it was just 7 or 8. It's a huge time commitment, especially because I want to get everything and I want to complete it. I know how they end, so it's not like it's not that big of a deal because they've been out for 1,000 years. But I don't know. It doesn't matter. You just play a game and you enjoy it. You don't have to beat it. Just
I mean, this would be a totally different thing if like I was hiring this guy, right?
Sure. Oh yeah, we're not talking about for review or anything. We're talking about like playing games.
But
for
just
fun.
Playing games. I mean, look at what people deem to be like. Go look at the top 10 games of all time, or the top 100, and look at what people sort of deem to be the must plays or the classics. And if any of those hover around your interests or likes, I mean, Metroid Prime is great. If you never played it and you like those kind of games, first person,
awesome
platforming action adventure stealth,
curl into a ball, go up a pipe.
Yeah. If you like those kind of things, then play it. Sure. If you've never played Ocarina of Time before, play it on 3DS. It's, you know, it's interesting. So.
I mean, the ones he's pointing out right are, with the exception of me, a lot of his examples here are, it's the gameplay that speaks. I never beat the original Borderlands either, but I played enough of the original Borderlands to be like, this is awesome. Yep. Now, Borderlands 2 I beat, but it wasn't like, it kind of just happened, right? I was leveling up and taking missions and doing it. I'm already talking about how I was like, 30 hours into Skyrim? Like,
yep.
I'm nowhere close to beating that.
I'm never going
to
beat that game.
I started that game and ran off immediately just to go do quests and do whatever. And it's the same thing with like Dragon's Crown. I don't even know what the story is in Dragon's Crown, but I love playing it. I love having fun and doing the story and the quests. I think there's differences there. Ocarina of Time, I'd say beat. And I think that's a really well-told story.
That's worth beating, definitely.
But I think there's, as long as you're having fun, you just enjoy your time. That's all.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
You don't have to beat Demon's Souls. You don't have to.
Again, it's all about gameplay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Learning how unforgiving it is and that Jim Riley's crazy.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Podcast Beyond, episode 305. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, the podcast is well and good. Rate us on iTunes. Download it every Tuesday. But it's IGN that keeps the mics on. Please go to IGN.com. Watch videos, read articles, and leave comments. Just have fun with the community. Then follow everybody on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Andrew Goldfarb is Garfep. Nailed it. Fuck yes.
There you
no
go.
One's in the room.
It must wasn't even here to see it.
It's stage fright. It must be stage fright. Agent Bizzle is Brian Altano. And Katie the Designer, I have no idea what your Twitter handle is.
DJKFM.
There it is. KF. Numerals?
What?
It's not K-A-Y?
Oh, no, it's D is spelled out, J is spelled out, and then KFN.
See, I knew there was something spelled out there.
Yeah.
All right.
It's cool, you know.
It's something. remember, we want you to be part of the show, beyond.ign.com for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Also, we have a segment called Ryan's Wrap-Up, where we end each episode of the show with a song. You submit them by going to beyond.ign.com with the song. You send me the MP3. No viruses, please. Today's comes from the Shields Brothers. These guys are on YouTube. They do crazy-ass music videos and parodies and whatnot. This one is Blurred Lines, the Alan Thicke song. Or not Alan
Thicke.
Robin Thicke. I like Alan Thicke.
Come on.
It's his son. I thought, all right, that counts. They look alike.
Wait, is it his son?
It's really his son.
Wait, what?
I'm dead serious. I did not know that.
Yeah, Robin Thicke is Alan Thicke's son. That was the most – that's the original thing that drew me to him. Hey, there's this crazy video and there's naked girls in it. All right, cool. It's Alan Thicke's son. What the fuck? What? Really?
He looks old, though.
Alan Thicke is old. Alan Thicke is at least 97.
Anyways, this is a Blurred Lines parody, but it's Mario. It's Mario and Bowser and Princess Peach and all that stuff. It's really well done. You should go find them on YouTube. It's youtube.com/Shields Brothers Band. You go there, listen to all their parodies. And until next time, be on.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Here we go.
Every Goomba get up.
Woo!
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.